Now, Dr. Joan Kentley, psychologist and author of Whose Body Is It Anyway, brings you Conversation Radio.
Hello, I'm Joan Kentley, welcoming you to the Joan Kentley Show, bringing you Conversation Radio, where talking really matters. And our topic today is coping with recession blues. Oh, what a lot we're going to have to say. And here in the studio, we have co-host Dr. Brenda Wade with our guests, Satyen Raja and Reverend Andriette Earle. Oh, it's such a great group, and we're all facing the fallout in our economy and what our clients and what our friends are going through. From coast to coast, people are feeling insecure, not knowing from day to day what new crisis will be reported. Some are medicating with alcohol or drugs. Others are stressed out, angry, overwhelmed. Are you afraid to spend money while both your heart and wallet are tightening? What are you going to do to manage your feelings, those important things that get you through the day? Well, why not take a moment just to check in with yourself right now? Good thing to do. And consider James Ferber's wise words. Let's not look back in anger or forward in fear, but around in awareness. My favorite word, awareness. So around in awareness is a subject we'll delve into a lot in our upcoming conversation. Our co-host, Dr. Brenda Wade, is a psychologist, author, and television personality. Her work focuses on teaching people to transform their lives from living in fear and scarcity to abundance and love. Welcome, friend.
Joni, it's always great to be here with you. It's a pleasure to be here because you hold a space for us to go beyond the kind of trivial conversations or the fear-based conversations where I've had a lot of people say to me, did you see that report that was on television last night? Did you hear this? And we can't breathe as we plug into the fear. So
no,
this is
can't.
A place where we can not only talk about ideas, but we don't work with probability. We look at possibility.
You bet.
And it's a special thrill to have the guests that we have with us today. Speaking of possibilities, two of the biggest possibility thinkers I know on the planet. I want to tell you a little bit more about our special guests, Satyen Raja and Reverend Andriette Earle, who spend their lives working with personal and community and global transformation. Each of them are masters of transforming attitudes. Satyen is the author of Living Ecstasy. Ooh, what a delicious title, Living Ecstasy. And the founder of the Warrior Sage Project, as well as a Kung Fu master and the trainer of well-known Illumination Intensives. Reverend Andriette Earle, who is my local girl, who is a powerful, powerful minister and healer. She's known as the Freedom Coach. She's a nationally respected transformation specialist, inspirational speaker, healer. She touches you and you just know you've been healed. Reverend Andriette hosted the Essence Empowerment Seminars in New Orleans, and those are always amazing. The Essence Leadership Summit in New York, the Sister Summit. And she authored the beautiful book, which I've read, Embracing Wholeness, Living in Spiritual Congruence. So, Andriette, may I start with you?
Yes, of course.
Tell us about what led you to this place on your journey where you have made such a difference in so many lives, but what got you here?
My sense is that it was my own pain.
That your there was own pain?
My own pain, that there was a point at which I was not willing to go on as I had been.
You know, pain and pleasure are the two doorways to the divine.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's suffering. You know, suffering, dukkha, as the Buddha called it, is the intuitive feeling of no matter what I do, I can never be totally filled. No matter what I do externally, no matter how well I raise my kids, no matter how I dress, no matter what type of financial circumstance I have in my life, which is part of why we're here today,
sure.
And also part of, you know, what's going on in my relationships, my health, my vitality. Our message, and message of everyone who's awake, is we need to listen to those cues that bring us back home to our innate wisdom. For us nowadays, I think the ability to cultivate the warrior, whether you're a feminine being, a masculine being, the warrior within yourself, which is the part that says, what is my deepest truth?
Yes.
Right.
What is my deepest gift?
Yes. Right.
What am I doing to not live that? Take a yes. serious look at that yes. and then realign your whole life. And if that means changing it radically, you do it because yeah. it's your happiness yes. and the world's happiness at stake. I was blessed to have mentors and teachers come into my life, which all they asked of me was I find out who I am in the world, what I'm about.
I think all of us at this table had the same gift come our way.
And everyone listening right now, no matter where they're at on their spiritual journey, has to listen to that call even deeper now.
Yeah.
The urgency yeah. of freedom, mm-hmm. the urgency of love in America, in the world, mm-hmm. is paramount right now. And yeah. it's love's call.
Right.
And it's love's call.
And
it's
in, the your certainty own, in your of that own as well. Journey, because I'm really curious. When those teachers arrived for you, Andrea, those teachers arrived for you, Sachin, how did you know? I mean, what led you to say yes to the teachers?
In my case, it was that my heart opened and I felt something different. I'm not even sure I was aware that I said yes.
Mm-hmm.
I began to elicit certain behavior that I now know because I understand it. It's through discernment that I understand, oh my goodness, that was when you, and clearly you had a decision, but it was not, none of this was at a conscious level.
Right.
I simply, it was a resonance. There was my heart open to this way. I remember there was a moment when I reached up out of bed and reached for a pen.
Aww.
Now, when I think beautiful. Back to that, mm-hmm. I know that that was a pivotal moment.
Yes.
At the time, I was simply doing something.
Right.
And when I called a prayer line, and as the first time I said that aloud, I had to laugh. Why was that? What would be the circumstance
right.
under which I would have called a prayer? I could not have thought of anything that could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet, my heart was so open that I was considering new options. So now, when I'm working with someone, and any, I think this pattern is available for all of us.
Right.
And we don't have to be aware of all of the steps. What I often say now is just leave cookie crumbs.
Mm. Well, that's it. Going forward and going backwards.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember reading There is a River by Edgar Cayce, and it just blew my mind because I thought, here is non-local happenings of healing, and there is the larger universe, which my church in my hometown never talked about at all.
Yes.
And so this was like, wow, this is a whole other life to lead. And luckily, all the people around me in New York at that time were into these kinds of explorations. And then Biology of the Spirit, and then Teilhard de Chardin.
Yes.
So it was just like, oh, wow, I have access to my real life now.
Totally.
Isn't that? But it sounds as if part of what I'm hearing everyone describing is that when the moment comes, there is an awareness, something shifts, yes. and if you go with the shift, it magnetizes, if you will,
it does.
Absolutely.
Yes.
to you
Absolutely.
The other people
you
who know, are on the path.
Absolutely.
For me, it was very simple. I saw people. I happened to meet these incredible teachers. I was a young kid. I couldn't put words to it, but now I can, and I saw aliveness in their eyes,
mm-hmm. yeah.
a passion, and what was important was they weren't, and here's the key, they weren't living for themselves.
Yeah.
They were living, and I could feel it. I could see it in their bellies. I could see it in their smiles. I could feel it in the way they connected with me. They were living it something bigger. I didn't know what that was,
yes.
but I wanted that.
Yes.
Yes.
And so as a young kid, I devoted myself. And everyone listening here, what I want to share is that we have a unique, we have every one of us has a momentum that we have been born in. Our culture, our society, our upbringing, our
parents. It's called the flame in the heart, the hima in the heart.
All of that. yeah. There's a momentum.
Yeah.
But if we follow just the prescribed momentum, we're going to live the prescribed outcome.
Yeah. Right.
Indeed.
And when you find a person who cares yes. for your soul's evolution,
yes.
not just your economic, you know, yes. economic situation, not just the subtle or the superficial things of life, find that person, learn from them, drink from them, and then become that for someone else.
Yes. That's exactly right.
And yes. it's also for me to know that they're always there. Mm-hmm. So it's almost, it's more like open my eyes
mm-hmm.
and see that there is everything that is required for my journey is already provided me. And what's important for me to do is to acknowledge that there's a teacher in my midst, just as that they're the student in my midst as well, that I'm always, as I'm moving towards something, I'm guiding someone, even as I'm being guided. Yeah. And so what I remember is coming to and knowing that I must take classes.
Coming to.
Coming to.
Phrase.
It really is. It's almost like there's the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son.
Right.
And there's this moment that I love in Scripture that speaks to, and he came to himself.
Yeah.
And I liken it unto that moment when we see the dog's ear raised.
Yes.
You know, and the tail does something, and there's a moment of awareness that a millisecond before that didn't exist.
And once you have it, it will never go away.
That's right. That's right.
That's it.
Never
exactly.
go away.
That's it.
Exactly.
And so I was changed forever. I didn't know it.
Yeah.
But I was then, that was my invitation to the field of infinite possibility.
That's
and
right.
it meant that I was choosing anything after that moment.
Right.
I was choosing from a different place.
We want to say that all of this has to do with the idea that we must cope better in these hard times that are around the world and around us in our families. And we have to self-remember ourselves. That's a Gurdjieffian thing, that we have to remember who our soul is, even when we feel like we can't pay the next electric bill. And you know what really eats people up is doubt. And doubt about finances can feed anguish at every level, no matter whether you're rich or poor or middle class. Everybody suffers when their portfolio or their bank account is threatened in any way. So Cahil Gibran interestingly said, doubt is a pain too lonely to know that faith is its twin sister. So I love the idea that faith is riding parallel with the doubt.
Side by side. Yes.
Side by side. So where do we find faith when the cloud of doubt looms too heavy for us? Well, we're going to explore that next, coming up, some great ideas. So keep listening. We'll keep talking.
You found it, and it's different. The Joan Kenley Show. What's not to love about The Joan Kenley Show, where talking truly matters?
I'm Joan Kenley, and you're listening to The Joan Kenley Show. My co-host, Dr. Brenda Wade, and I are having a conversation about coping with recession blues with Reverend Andriette Earle and Satyan Raja. And we are in such a great conversation here today. And we're faced, we know all of us, with ups and downs in the stock market, job layoffs, and headlines about an extended economic recession. I mean, that's a heavy basket to carry around. And we know there's plenty of financial pain everywhere. Many people are losing their homes, their jobs, and with these worries can come a sense of underlying dread, really, underlying powerlessness. And some may respond by pretending things will magically come back to the good old days. Uh-oh. And then they put on the comfortable robe of denial, which isn't good at all. And others may find themselves feeling overwhelmed by bills or debt or income insecurities. So we know that stress can kick in with the fight or flight reflexes, which can, in turn, cause our beloved nervous system to freeze, play dead, or physically just run away. So it's only when we're determined to stop, slow down our breath, and focus on physically and mentally relaxing, surrendering. So we can
you've got me relaxing already, Jen.
Good.
Great. Thank you.
So we can begin to understand that we're having these stress reactions or anxiety attacks, actually. Not formal ones, maybe, but those that lurk behind everything we do and say, which we don't want to have. Dorothy Thompson's words remind us that only when we are no longer afraid do we begin to live.
Andriette, how do you speak to people from your position as the coach who transforms people's lives and as a minister about facing those kinds of economic challenges when you've already had a Katrina or an Ike hit you?
What I first acknowledge is that what I call the twins of fear and doubt, that when one is gripped by that, I know that their capabilities for being rational and doing their best work are somehow
Well, they're diminished.
They're diminished.
Because
Thank
on
you.
A physical Thank level, you. When the adrenal glands start firing, literally,
yes.
the brain loses neurotransmitters, hence loses capacity.
Exactly. And the way that that looks is we begin to act crazy.
We begin to act
separative.
And we try to hoard to our own little castles and protect and board up the windows and make sure no one gets to us. And that we try to maintain an empire no matter how small it is. In my mentor showed me a very simple way to wealth. And he said, there's three stages of looking at wealth, three stages to create any type of abundance in any moment, even in the worst economic
time. All right, everybody get your pens out.
And
so
for me, this is the really practical. And there's three. The first stage of consciousness is when you're in a me moment. All these circumstances, these challenges that are happening in the world, first of all, is don't call them problems, call them challenges, because a challenge has an inherent opportunity for transformation.
Mm-hmm.
A problem only weighs you down physiologically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So the first stage is when you're in a me moment. Me moments are exasperated by these times. That's when you're thinking, I got to take care of my family, I got to take care of me, I got to make sure my bills are. And when you come from that place, what happens is the abundance, your connectability, your resourcefulness, resourcefulness is where your wealth really lies. Now we move into the second stage. So when you're in a me moment, you're stuck, okay? You're going to be clamped. Don't let yourself get caught in that me moment. When you do, you turn around. The next step is we. You think win-win. So that's the question to ask in the first stage is, what's in it for me? In the second stage, you say, what's in it for us?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's an improvement, but guess what? If other people around you are having weaknesses in their economy, how can they help?
Mm-hmm.
How can they serve you?
Right.
That takes us to where we need to be now, which is the third stage, which is the question is, not what's in it for me, not how can we have win-win, but what is my deepest gift?
Yes. Have I come to be?
And how may I offer that?
Sure.
This is the paramount question
now.
What
have I come to be? Yes.
What is my deepest gift? How can I offer that? And from that, creating and galvanizing a sense of resourcefulness with your village. It's not a community. America, United States of consciousness. This is a village.
Yes, exactly.
A village. And when we move from that
And I love hearing that from you since you're a Canadian. So
yes. We're one world.
That you're tapping into the village. I love it. I love it.
And when one starts from that diminished place, it's I'm hearing my mother's voice say, it's a woe is me. It's a woe is me that is so weighted.
Exactly.
And then that movement, that transcendence that I'm hearing is moving to an expanded place, an enlarged awareness that includes everything. And it's also a sense of connectedness.
Exactly.
That I am no longer the problem. Nothing is happening to me, but the world is pretty much awaiting my contribution.
Yes.
That there's something for me to give. And when I begin giving, everything changes.
Exactly.
So whenever we're talking about one in dire straits, and it sounds counterintuitive, but it's an invitation to give.
Totally.
Right.
It's an invitation that as dismal as it appears, it's to find, and I think my ancestors so knew this.
Oh, absolutely.
They knew that when they had, well, what folks used to say, not a pot to piss in themselves.
That's right.
That they would, in fact, know to, they could always share.
That's right.
They had
That's
enough
the
to
key.
Share even if it didn't appear that way.
That's
and so
the key.
What
That's
this attitude is one of knowing that now is the time for me to contribute. But first of all, just as you said, that it's the awareness that I have something to contribute.
That's right.
That I am worthy and that my role here is to be who I have come to be.
And now, one of the things that I found, I went to New Orleans and to Monroe, Louisiana to work with survivors. And one of the things I found is that the people who were the rescue workers were themselves people who had been traumatized, who'd lost their homes, who'd lost everything.
Yes.
But yet they were there trying to rescue others. And a crucial piece of the work when I was training them to do work with post-traumatic stress disorder was that if they could just acknowledge their own pain.
Yes.
They needed some place. Because this, for me, is where I find people sometimes doing what I call a spiritual bypass. We can't bypass the emotions. We have to integrate.
Yes.
So as people are listening and I'm saying, powerful wisdom, who am I? I am also those parts of me that were wounded.
But
I am also the parts of me that were in pain.
Yes. You have to embrace. Yes. If you're going through any nervousness in your life on any level, let's say economic in the circumstance that we're sharing about, we have to feel it all the way to our core.
You bet.
And from that core, then ask ourselves, what is my deepest gift, as we just shared? How can I offer that? When you're willing to do that, this is where the warrior, where I talk about the warrior principle.
Yes.
The warrior principle is the one that says, yes, these things are shaking. And you've all heard of the saying of, you know, I felt the foundation shaking in my life.
Right.
But to find out it was God who was shaking them.
Right.
The good earthquake inside.
That's
exactly.
Right. And so when you say, I am a resource, I am, and I'd like everyone to feel it, I am a resource to serve in whatever way, what starts to happen is opportunities come to you. This is practical. This is not just metaphysical.
That's right.
People want to make a website for you. People want to take your gift and market it if you're not a marketer. People want to, you know, if you're really good at baking a particular recipe that no one has, everyone loves around you. All these things start to come up because you as a practical being have a gift to give.
But you have to commit yourself to be in conversation about that gift too, because we find out as conversation grows, so does the strength of the collective.
That's
in other words, as you bring people together, one conversation at a time, all of a sudden the group energy is what brings the possibility. Everybody's encouraging everybody else. People are saying, I can do that, just like you said, Satyen, for you. But then three other people over here are saying, well, gee whiz, I've got the apples in my yard. I can share those.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. And the biggest risk of all is sometimes to be able to say, I'm in a dark place around what's going on, because the minute you put it out, it diminishes the power of it. Yes. It no longer has that grip on us. If we can just say,
let the grip
this is it. Now, the other thing that I'm always curious about, I want to ask you guys about this. When I see people stuck in patterns, and I know that they're intergenerational patterns, because I can do a genogram in 5 minutes and go, great grandparents running the pattern, grandparents pattern. And these are usually people's best attempt to cope. These aren't bad people. How do you address those patterns when you see people responding, say, to something like these economic challenges from old patterns?
One of the things that I find is very helpful to do first is to put an individual in touch with their gift. During that time where the thinking is dismal and less than-ness, it's very difficult for one to see for themselves. One of the ways I found this to work well is to put an individual in touch with something that they have done, to a conscious awareness of the gift that they have, something that they absolutely know to be true about themselves.
And so another practice to do that's practical is to get together with your friends and family and very simply say, listen, what do you think my gift is? So if you can't find it out, you don't know what it is, say, what is a gift that's resourceful that I have that can be turned into a generative form of income? And ask them, because and if three or four of them say, this is what you have, whether you feel confident or not to do it, because if it's really what your deepest thing is, you probably won't feel confident.
Right.
You probably feel, I can't give that, that's not that good, because that's the humility in you. You have to embrace your humility with the warriorship, take feedback in, and then give the gift.
Well, absolutely. And in fact, most people, when they're feeling incomplete, need the invitation. In other words, asking for something from somebody is hard for them to hear, but important for them to come to. And as you've said, Satyen, it's a call for them to wake up and discover their true self. It's really a gift for someone to ask for that inner self. And so you can find lasting fulfillment, even though times are hard. It's about saying to yourself, my intrinsic value is not changing, even though the outside world and my bank account are changing. This is what coping with recession blues is all about. We're actually saying things can look pretty damn tough, but inside you're still rich.
Yes.
And that's what our message is.
Absolutely.
It's so
and
true.
So we're coming to our halfway point here, and everybody stay tuned. You won't want to miss a minute of what's next.
The Joan Kenley Show. Talk radio your way. Dr. Joan Kenley, taking talk radio to the next level.
Welcome back to the Joan Kenley Show. I'm Joan Kenley, and we're having a revealing conversation about coping with recession blues. Oh, we're getting into lots of things today. And my co-host, Dr. Brenda Wade, and I are joined by Reverend Andriette Earle and Satyen Raja. You know, a remarkable living synthesis of Eastern wisdom and Western practicality comes into the work of Satyen Raja. He combines the power of the warrior and the wisdom of the sage to inspire audiences worldwide. Satyen is a unique blend of power and of heart. He is a kung fu master and a trainer of the renowned Illumination Intensive. He's taught thousands of students in Canada, the United States, Australia, and Europe in the art of true power. Reverend Andriette Earle, she's respected across the nation as a transformational specialist, inspirational speaker, and life coach, and is the author of Embracing Wholeness, Living in Spiritual Congruence, a great title. Andriette captivates audiences with her dynamic, engaging style and has hosted Essence Empowerment Seminars in New Orleans, summits in New York City, and much, much more. So coming up, we'll be looking at the invasion of worry and self-doubt throughout our communities and throughout our bodies, minds, hearts, and souls. Symptoms that surface can be negative behavior around emotional stability, repressed feelings, acting out financially, a lot of that, abusing alcohol or food or drugs. Americans have inherited a cultural psyche of just do it. Feel good. Don't worry. Be happy. But we do have to face real concerns, even though it makes us uncomfortable sometimes. It doesn't mean we can flip a switch and get happy. We have to know the process. How do we respond to messages of happy when we really, really aren't? And what's the healthiest way to deal with recession blues? Maybe you have some stories for us, Satyen.
Certainly. I mean, just recently have a student of mine who's lost his home.
Which is horrible.
It's the worst thing, you know, the safety. His wife is, you know, going through it. They have two young kids. And he asked me, what do I do here? What do I do now? And feeling really shaken at the core. And what's beautiful is he came with an openness. And the openness to want to, you know, to realign his life now to his deepest purpose is what's awakening him. And I said, now that you're done with all this weight, this mortgage, this, you're at starting zero.
Mm-hmm.
You have no baggage. You don't have all these old responsibilities from your old ways of thinking. You are at the starting point of freedom. Now, how would freedom live you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How would freedom live your wife? How would you like freedom to live your children? And when you find that, and then you find ways to actually bring it into reality, that's the first step. So after, you know, hearing that, taking that in, he's now starting to do all these entrepreneurial ventures that he was in a regular 9-to-5 job for many, many years. And without that security blanket, he was lost for a while.
I think more than lost. I mean, until he found you and your conversation, there are people that want to commit suicide. There are people that want to give up. There are people that want to run away.
Exactly. It's a starting point. Now, after getting together with good men and women in his community, in his village, if you will, and I think this is the importance of village right now,
mm-hmm.
the village of consciousness, village of love, village that you can lean into, and they can lean into you mm-hmm. when the times are challenging. And it's his ability to help others, which are now bringing to him, people are willing to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Say, here's this contact, here's this idea, I'll make a website for you, I'm going to create this for you, here's a marketing contact for your idea. So practical things came out from this total loss of security, this in-between phase of being really shaken, and then finding the warrior sage in him, which is ultimately the resoluteness to say, I am starting now. I have not lost anything. I'm at a beginning place. That's a choice. That's something that you have to claim, and that's something you have to fight within your own psyche of fear and saying, I claim my starting point. I am resolute and I am resourceful.
You know, it's interesting. The resolute part, I heard Barack Obama give a speech about the economy, and he said, this is not the time for fear or panic.
Mm-hmm.
It's the time for resolve.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
So this idea you're putting forth
I think it's an idea that needs to live in the individual lives of each of us as we meet these challenges. But we need to live that as a country. We need to live it as a government. We need to live it as leaders.
And we need to live it minute by minute. I mean,
exactly.
You have to brush your teeth in the morning with a certain consciousness. You have to say, today I choose to be proactive. I choose to give my gifts. I choose to find my answers.
Exactly.
And the thought really is hard for some when they've gone to bed and they've had bad dreams maybe. And then the old thing that I always have to remind people about is the negative self-voice. I'm not good enough. Yes. I can't handle it. Yes. I don't have the resources. But when you come in contact with one other person, it breaks that fantasy that you can't. And the idea that, yes, I can, comes into your vocabulary. Thank you, Obama, that we really have an opportunity to switch all of our gears pretty quickly if we practice it every day.
Yes.
And I know, Andrea, you're also working with people facing challenges. What have you seen and how are you helping people to meet those things as they arise in their lives?
One of the things that comes to my mind is an individual who was laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, there's still this opportunity to understand that we really can offer a don't worry, be happy.
Mm-hmm.
We really can offer that, mm-hmm. but it's in the context of the truth being that there's nothing really to worry about. And sometimes it's not until we've traveled the full distance that we get there.
Right.
So in the beginning, when the call comes and one can hardly breathe and say the whole thing aloud because they're so in the moment, it's to understand that that was never your source.
Never your source.
That was never your source.
To remember that.
And it's I feel like my work is to put that individual back in touch with what is true.
Exactly.
What's absolutely true, though? You didn't always have that. How can I break into the absolute fear that is holding one so tightly? How can we break through that? And some of that is the intuitive work of seeing for that particular individual. And in the case that I'm thinking of, it's reminding them of what they want their children to learn in this.
Exactly.
Mm, that's good.
Because for most of us, if you can snap us to a place of what I'm going to call the real reality, sometimes when we talk about the state of the economy and call it reality, we've misspoken.
Yes.
Because that's not the real.
Exactly.
It's an effect. So what I want to do is break the spell and have you be in touch with, now what do you want your children to take away from
this? Exactly.
Because the likelihood is that at some point in time, they're going to go through something similar.
Oh, yes.
What do you want us to learn from you as you walk through this?
Everyone is watching right now. And everyone is watching you. And unless you start watching yourself and guarding your thoughts, guarding your heart, guarding yourself from the sense of there's lack. You know, my teacher told me years ago, in Canada we had economic hardships, years ago and challenges. And he said, well, what's the unemployment rate? And, it's 5, 7, 8. That seems like a high unemployment rate. And he goes, what if it was 10%? I go, well, my goodness, what a horrible thing. He says, that means 9 out of 10 people are working.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
9 out of 10. If this was baseball, if you're doing, 30%, 3 out of 10, you're one of the most incredible players ever, making millions of dollars. And so the resolve was, he says, look, you got to look at what is working, grow that strength, flower it, water it, put sunshine on what your skill sets are right now. And the most important thing is to have an entrepreneurial mindset. If you're in a job now that you don't know you may be in a year from now, 6 months from now, I want you to fire yourself right now and rehire yourself as an entrepreneur in the same place, inside yourself.
In the spirit.
In your being.
Right.
In your being.
Right.
Because you don't have to tell your boss that.
Consciousness.
Right. You don't have to tell your boss
that. Different mindset.
That's right. Now you go into your office building, you go into your place of work, and you say, listen, you come in as an entrepreneur and you come in to add value to the place that you're in. That value will be felt when other people's values won't be felt because they're lost in fear.
Yes.
So the ones who are feeling their value of contribution from the entrepreneurial spirit, and when I mean spirit, I mean the aliveness.
And
in
it's
you.
An attitude.
That's
it's
right.
an absolute attitude. So
that's
it's not about the children, even though that's the setup to break the spell and have someone step into an attitude of, it is now more important for me to see this differently and behave differently than it is for me to cower in the appearance
of it. It's also to
feel. And we can then begin to take some steps, some concrete steps as to what's available to you.
Exactly.
The first answer is always, well, there's nothing because I've lost everything. But let's look again.
Right.
What is there in everything that's been lost? What is still left?
Exactly.
And as we begin to take a real accurate inventory, we begin to see and we can have that shift in awareness that there still is much more that we can do.
And even
that
in
we
the
have
moment,
to offer.
There are things to be grateful for.
Exactly.
And I find that one of the most important things as I'm listening to you is that people find that place to understand. I loved what you said, that the job wasn't your source. To have a clear identification with source and with self.
Yes.
But also this, once again, I have to throw in, I find a lot of people responding from what in their families are tried and true patterns.
Yes.
We cope like this in our family. When something happens and there's a challenge, we get drunk.
The backup style.
we lash out and we hit each other. I'm finding there's a big spike in people acting out in relationships, domestic violence, drinking, the kinds of things that we know are indicators of stress. So I'm wondering, as you look at those kinds of patterns, do you point people toward understanding you have a choice?
Oh, yes.
Not
totally.
To express that family pattern.
Yes, and that right where you are, there are the component pieces, the resources right there. And of course, in that state, one needs some support in seeing them. So my role is to shine the light on what's there.
Exactly.
And what's essential is a sense of gratitude.
Totally.
Yes.
That's the fundamental.
It's to help them get in touch with that they're really, and once someone, it's like an inhale. Now there's an inhale of, oh my goodness. And on that, it's exactly what you said, that there's an opportunity to build on that. Oh, I can do. It's from that place of gratitude of, oh, well, if I have this, we could have a yard sale.
Right.
We have too much stuff anyhow.
That's
and
right.
before that, there was an attitude of, I have nothing.
I'm going
we
through
have
a
nothing.
Zen phase of clearing of the baggage to allow my life to be more free, to travel, to eat, to be with the trees, to be with the flowers. That's the source of
wealth.
What
I say, authentic.
To me, nature, just a couple of weeks ago, I took my family, we went to a fellow named Tom Brown, who does a nature training, and we learned how to live with nothing and have everything.
Absolutely.
And that shifted my being by being with the Mother Nature. And value, the value that you have to give is the source of your personal wealth.
Right.
Now,
right.
tomorrow, yesterday, and forever.
Yes.
Find what your value is and go out of your way today to add value to everyone around you.
And never underestimate it.
And we have to say that everything we've said here is about finding out the fact that maybe we weren't as awake as we needed to be as a nation or as a world when we were sort of going along, singing a song, getting promises that were not about the truth. So we're truth-facing right now. And I love Martin Luther King's words. He said, I know that love is ultimately the only answer to mankind's problems, whatever they are.
Yes.
And he said, I'm going to talk about it everywhere I go. I know it isn't popular to talk about it in some circles. And I'm not talking about emotional bosh when I talk about love. I'm talking about strong, demanding love. In the best sense of saying yes, because, well, there's a lot more to say about demanding love next as we go on the road to finding peace and security from the inside, and especially when times are rough and emotions are ragged. So stay tuned for lots more.
Ready for more? Dr. Joan Kenley continues in a moment. Log on to joankenley.com, that's K-E-N-L-E-Y, to learn more and listen to archived shows. Invite your friends and family to listen to The Joan Kenley Show.
I'm Joan Kenley, and you're back with The Joan Kenley Show, and we are going to be talking about spreading that demanding love around that we were just talking about. And my co-host, Dr. Brenda Wade, and I are talking about coping with recession blues with Reverend Andriette Earle and Satyen Raja. We'll be sharing tools for exploring ways to find inner peace and a more stable outlook during these times that we're finding a bit rough. As we were thinking about it, and putting this show together, we realize that we have to share our tools with each other as teachers, and we have to share with our friends that we're also looking at new answers ourselves, and they have to remind us what they know about us. And so it's always a growing process. We're never just sitting on some kind of ivory tower speaking our truths and speaking our learnings.
Yep.
It's all of us learning together and with each other. And I have learned so much behind the microphone here today with all of you. So we are always ramping things up for what we know and what we want to do with our lives. So maybe you would tell us a little bit more, Brenda, about what you're doing with your seminars and your Power Choices work and your coaching seminars and so forth.
Well, one of the most important things for me is to be in alliance with teachers like Reverend Andriette and with Sachin. There are many of us who've taken a stand on the planet to be the love, to be the place that is the resource, and to come from that resolve, that resourcefulness. And in my work, I'm always striving to have people connect the dots, as I call them, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. And as we were talking, and I was listening to the very beautiful strength in what you both had to say, Andriette and Sachin, I was thinking of this little song I made up. I am the master of my mind. I said the master of my mind. And I go around singing this little song. If I get too hypnotized by the news or what's going on, and I actually recorded this on one of the CDs I put out to remind people that we do have a choice, that what's happening around us does not control us unless we give our power to it, and that our source is not what's out here. That everything really is an opportunity to bring more and then more and then more of our true self, our true power, our true love. Because I really believe our nature is love. And my motto is we're here for only one thing. That's to learn to give and receive love.
Love. You're so right.
So with me, this holistic approach I know is very much in alignment with what you're doing, Andriette. And I've noticed that whenever I get to experience you and work with you, you have a toolkit that's just full of things that you offer people. And you were talking earlier about putting an anchor down.
Yes. That after one, I have a belief that every adult has some story that was what brought them into a clearer awareness of what it is they've come to do, even if they're not that clear about it. When we go back to think of what is it that brought us to this point?
Yes.
I encourage, even as we're going through the process and I'm coaching one from this appearance of despair and doubt and fear into the larger expansion of love and gratitude and appreciation, to remember, though, remember the steps along the way. I call it leave yourself breadcrumbs, because yes, there's not a successful person anywhere in the world who doesn't have a story that includes some of the piece parts of what we've been through.
Yes. Without question.
And so put breadcrumbs, but drop an anchor. So when the next wave comes along, so that you have a clear sense of I've been down before.
Yes.
And I got up.
Yeah, you got it.
And it matters now. Each time in my life when I fall, I think I'll get up a little more quickly.
Right.
Or rise a little more aware and inspired. I know something now that I didn't know then.
Yes.
In the work that I do, I certainly teach classes and have a number of opportunities to facilitate groups. But what I really do that I so love and appreciate this opportunity is that we have our healing service. And during the summer, our theme was the summer of shift. And it was
it.
The encouraging folks to come with the intention of shifting.
Yes.
Of anything that's in their life that they were willing to release, have an intention to let go.
Great.
Now that we're in the fall, we're using the acronym of FALL to represent forgive all, live love.
Oh,
beautiful.
Love it.
Forgive
beautiful.
All. And so right now,
so
what
impressed.
We've been doing for the past 2 weeks, we've been making our list and shredding them. I brought the huge paper shredder right up front to the front of the pulpit.
Now.
So then people line up. I have them write the song that we're playing is I Forgive Me. And part of the lyric is to that, I'm ready for change.
There you go.
And beautiful. So the work that I'm committed
unless
to.
Unless we do that release.
Unless
because
we
what we haven't forgiven is a block. It's a block in the energy.
Yes. Yes. So I surrender is a part of the lyric. Mm. And that's what I'm encouraging all of us to have an awareness, to surrender the fear.
Yes.
Surrender the doubt.
Yes.
And because the universe abhors a vacuum,
yes,
something else will rise
First
up.
First law of physics.
Something
Absolutely.
Else will
Your
rise
core
up.
Will come
and
up.
The more we yes. stay in touch with gratitude
yes.
and love and every possible moment that we can integrate that, mm-hmm. we begin to have more and more people say to each other, that's not enough to stop you, though. So there's a new chorus. There's
that's
a new,
right.
chorus new chorus that's begun to be sung.
I love that.
Which
you
is, I know yes. you're having that, but that's not enough. Read this.
Yes.
Think about this. Journal on this.
Right.
There's a new chorus that this is not the whole truth at all.
Beautiful. And Sachin, as you're looking at the tools, and you have so many. I've taken your workshops and read your book. What tool do you feel is the most valuable? And I want to ask you to address a specific thing.
Certainly.
Which is people's relationships are being tested right now, going through these times.
Most intense time for people's relationship. And what I'm sharing right now is cleave to your partner deeper than ever before. Mm-hmm. Cleave to them. Love them. Nurture them. Know that the sanctity of your relationship is where wealth comes from,
yeah.
is where abundance, where security comes from. And when you've got two shining eyes, I remember my wife saying, honey, I'll follow you wherever you go. If we live in a tent, you know, that's it. I love you that much. And I remember me giving that type of vow to her, saying, honey, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to take you wherever I go. Mm. We're going to go all the way to the divine. We're going to have a magnificent life. And it's cleaving to each other. Mm. So economic tension is the number one thing that causes divorce and tension and fights and the worst things that can happen in a relationship. This is the time to look into your lover's eyes, those of you who have a partner, and say, honey, I love you more than I've ever loved you. If everything falls apart around us, you've got me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going anywhere.
That's it.
I'm with you. And when you feel your lover's heels dug into your heart, and you let your heels dig into their heart, and you cleave, and your families become strong, your village becomes strong. And then what happens is this magical synergy you have that, if we have nothing, we have each other. That is the source.
And it reduces the fear. Life.
Yes.
So the main key I'm teaching is listen, when we stand together as a couple, strong, without any wavering, with a resoluteness of love, then by goodness, everything's going to come to us. You'll make it through thick and thin. Forget the feel-good spaces.
Mm-hmm.
This is what will keep you good. And in our work at Warrior Sage, my organization's called Warrior Sage, and you can find it on the internet, warriorsage.com, we awaken the warrior. And the warrior, whether you're male, female, masculine, feminine, is a part of you that says, I'm going to go out and make a contribution. I'm going to take my life force and serve.
Yes.
The sage is the one who sits back, opens up, and receives what the warrior has put out into the universal law.
Oh.
And receives it back and says, yes, rested in my being. Rested in my soul, I'm a contribution just by being me.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
So bring, you know, those of you who are single, you come too, because you're going to learn how to attract you, not just inner wealth, but relationship wealth and spiritual wealth.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And you can't go wrong with those two, relationship wealth, spiritual wealth. One of the things I've also explored with people in the retreats I've been leading is the power of the heart. And I think as I'm listening to the two of you, there's a real synergy here around power of the heart, because there are 12 powers, and one of them is forgiveness. One is love, and to hold love as an anchor. One is acceptance, to accept what's going on and to bring wisdom to it. So when you talked about the sage, I was resonating with that power of wisdom. And each one of those powers precipitates an energetic release that allows us to hold unconditional love, to be able to give. And what's hardest for most people, I find, is not the giving, it's the receiving.
Well, it is. And in fact, when I had one of my spiritual groups have a practice where they coupled together to do something for each other, and it had to be whatever you ask, whether it was, would you clean my closet? Would you drive me to the bus every day? It was the hardest practice I gave them in the 5 years we were together. People hated to ask for something for themselves. And on the other hand, the people on the giving side were just ecstatic that they could do what the person asked.
Yeah.
So it shows how we are culturally set up not to ask for ourselves. And the other thing that we aren't culturally set up for is to actually feel how many ways our heart can feel. In other words, when we're sad, it can feel like a stone in our chest. And when we're really hurt, it can feel like shattered glass. Or when we're thrilled, it can be cotton candy or a golden globe of wonderful liquid gold.
Yes.
So we need more vocabulary around our heart to appreciate all the many levels and depths and kinds of heartful feelings we can have. Because if somebody's heart is stone cold, it isn't just a matter of saying, open your heart. That has to be coaxed open.
That's right.
And processed open and healed.
A process to go through that.
That's right. And so we need processes like everybody at this table is offering.
And I call that the golden heart.
That's so beautiful.
The golden bottom line, because we often think of the bottom line being money.
Yes.
And there is a golden bottom line, which is how much have I served? How much love have I given? How much love have I received? How much have I grown? How much wisdom have I taken on by meeting the challenges in my life? So we want to see the golden bottom line grow. And this is my chance to say that I am doing retreats on the heart around the world. Everything would be on my website, which is docwade.com. And this alliance that I feel with you, Andriette, with you, Satya,
with other teachers,
wisdom teachers.
And everyone who's listening with you.
Yeah, you'll find links to also what work you're doing, because I want people to know there are lots and lots of opportunities out here. There is no scarcity in this world.
Lovely. And we'll
have
that all.
Community as well.
And we'll have everybody's websites on our website. Right. And that's going to be just gorgeous. But I think we do have to wrap up today. So what would your final message to our audience be, Satyen?
For me, it would be, as one of my teachers taught me, he says, when you want what you have, you'll get everything you want. Mm. You have to want what you already have.
I love that.
And when you have that, abundance will grow. And we'll make it through these times. And we're all going to come together as a deeper global village and in our, in our own homes. We embrace love. We embrace consciousness. And everyone around us, we have to make our brother and sister. No one is excluded in this time.
And we should have a show a year from now, Coping with Abundance and
yes.
Love.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Expanding.
Yes. The challenges that come with that.
Yes. Exactly. And you, Andriette, what would you say?
I think what's on my mind right now is that if I've heard someone say, if you can look up, you can get up.
I
want folks to acknowledge that as long as they can see something more, it's available to them.
Well, this is my chance to thank you, Joan. It's always an honor for me, and I always learn so much when I sit in a Joan Kenley conversation on Conversation Radio. And you've been holding a space that is so powerful for so many of us and a place for us to come and get wisdom. So from the bottom of my heart, I thank you. And what I want people to know is that our heart is our greatest resource. It's from our hearts that we love. It's from our hearts that we receive. It's from our hearts that we have true power to be our authentic selves in this world. So cultivate your heart. And I've got lots of books and tools and things. Go look at the website. But it's just an honor to be here in this circle of love and wisdom. Thank you, Satyen.
Thank you,
Andriette. Thank you, Joan.
Thank you, everyone. Certainly today, coping with recession blues has been much wider than that topic, much broader than we would even imagine before we started. But what it has done, it has opened our hearts and hopefully the hearts of the audience. I would even suggest that if you listen to the show once, you might want to listen to it again or tell your friends. Because when I say thank you for listening, we want you to know that the Joan Kenley Show brings you conversation radio that's co-created for your listening pleasure with our guests, and that's so true. And you can find out more about today's subject and how to reach our guests on my website, joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y, where all our shows are archived, downloadable, and podcastable 24/7. And we're also on iTunes and the other top 10 podcast directories. So I want to give huge thanks to those who made this show possible, Peter B. Collins and Christy Healy, and here in the studio, Monique Lasserre, program producer, and Daniel Fletcher, engineer and technical producer. This is Joan Kenley inviting you to keep listening, and we'll keep you in the conversation.